Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church Wednesday evening prayer and Bible study. If you would, please grab your songbooks and turn to Psalm 374. 374, Send the Light. 374, Send the Light. Start on the first.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light. Send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. Send the light. Send the light. The blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. The blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, a blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. For a crown above, send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Amen. Brother Jeff, would you open the service in a word of prayer, please? Amen. Now turn your songbooks to 328, please. I Want That Mountain, 328. I Want That Mountain, on the first.
I saw the giant of prayerlessness upon the mountain high. He laughed so hard at my unbending knee. I'll stay, and so I cry. I want the mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. There was a giant of laziness who said I wouldn't go, and witness for the one who set me free. I'll come from out the wilderness, I'll witness, now I know. I want the mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain. Honey flow where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. Faithless shine upon the crest of Hebron's lofty high, has found that he's the one to make me free. I'll climb without wilderness and trust Jehovah's mind. I want the mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow and the wings of vegetable grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. On the last, let every child mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain. I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. If you need a song, just raise your hand. We'll come by and hand one out to you. But in the meantime, let's go through these announcements here real quick. Let's see. If you've got a bulletin, front page, weekly church service time, Sunday mornings at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Underneath that's a list of soul winning times. The main soul winning time and location that doesn't change are Saturday morning at 10:30, meeting right here. All the other times are subject to change. 208-391-5323 is the number to call. Middle page, so we are now in the book of 1 Kings Sunday evenings, and we'll be in chapter number 2 this coming Sunday evening. Don't forget, baby shower Saturday, September 10th at 3 p.m. for Miss Joanna. You guys will be painting canvases for her to take home, and it's also a potluck. Let's see here, birthdays and anniversaries for August. So we just had Miss Rachel's birthday. Next up will be Jerry. He'll be singing for us next week. His birthday's on the 23rd. And Uriah's playing the tambourine for him. Just kidding. All right. Verse of the week is Matthew 24:38, which says, "And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" That was from last Sunday morning. We are a family integrated church, and what that means is we don't separate children from their parents for any reason. If you need privacy, we've got a mother baby room right across the hallway. Dad's still got to use this probably for another couple weeks. Let's see here. Don't forget to turn your phone off or place it on silent so it's not a distraction. And there might be a few things left in the blessing rack back there. If you didn't get a chance to grab something, but the rest of it is gone. So thanks for taking all that stuff, by the way. That reduced the amount of stuff considerably, so I don't have to ride around with it in the vehicle. Let's see here. The bottom line says, "The Christian that bows before God walks upright before men." That was from 2 Sundays ago. So again, we're going to have one more song before we receive the offering. And don't forget, if you got a prayer list or a praise box or in the plate when it goes by. With that being said, we are going to do one more song before we have the offering.
All right, at this time we'll be singing our chorus, "Oh, What a Moment." On the first, "Oh, what a time will be when we see loved ones there, those who have gone before, eternal joys to share. And oh, what a song when the blood was wrung, start singing a song angels cannot sing. Oh, what a moment when we see Jesus, when we stand face to face in His embrace and thank Him for amazing grace. Oh, what a moment when we see Him. Harvest will then be past, we'll no longer gather. Only what's done for Christ is all that will matter. The seeds we have sown will then be made known. What joy shall fill our raptured souls that day? Oh, what a moment when we see Jesus, when we stand face to face in Him.
when we see Him.
All right, well, let's go ahead and pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be able to meet here this evening. I just pray that you bless the service, Lord, minimize distractions, and be with us as we fellowship after the service, Lord, and bring us back safely again this weekend. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Going over our prayer and praise list. If you didn't get one, just raise your hand. There's a brand new one. And remember, if you ever have a praise or prayer to put on this list, just write it down on a communication card and drop it off in the box on your way out the door. You could always drop it in the offering plate when it goes by. And let's all bow our heads and have a word of prayer over these things. Dear Lord God, we just want to come before you this evening to lift up our prayers and praises to your name, Lord. We want to start off by praying for opportunities to preach to unsaved family, friends, and coworkers. We pray for the health and safety of our church families. We pray for the spiritual growth and wisdom of our church. And we pray that you would continue to meet our church financial needs as we grow in number and space. We pray for the spiritual needs of our communities, that they would desire the sincere word of God and to want to be able to grow in doctrine, Lord. And we pray for the safety, health, understanding, and wisdom of our children as they grow up in this decaying world. We pray for the like-minded churches to continue to grow and be protected from those that wish us all evil. We also pray for the wicked leaders in our local, state, and national governments to be removed. We pray for continued freedom when it comes to medical mandates. We also want to pray for those having a hard time with any allergies this season and any summer colds that may abound, Lord. We just pray for extra protection from those things. And we also want to pray for the safe and healthy pregnancy of Miss Joanna. We also want to pray for Miss Melixa. We just pray that their family chiropractor's son, that you be with him and you be with the surgeons as they continue to wait on the date for his heart surgery, Lord. We just pray for him and we pray for all the stress that may be going on during this time for them, Lord. We also want to pray for the continued progress with Ms. Bella's speech therapy, Lord. They're looking for a new therapist, Lord, with that. Lord, we just pray that you bless them in that, Lord. And we also want to pray for Brother Kevin's niece, Jazzy. We pray for her healing. And we also want to pray for Miss Melissa and her family to have safe travels to California. And she also has an unspoken prayer, Lord. You know the details in that, Lord. We pray that you meet her needs in that. We also want to pray for Miss Patty's family to be open to hearing the gospel. We also want to pray for safe travels for Brother Jeff and Uriah to visit family over in California, Lord. Pray for them, and we pray that you protect them and watch over them. And they also have a few unspoken prayers here, Lord. We just pray that that you meet their needs in that situation, Lord. You know all the details in that, Lord. And we also want to pray for Miss Rachel. She has an unspoken prayer as well, Lord. We also want to pray for the upcoming church soul winning event, Lord. We pray that the people in the community there would have their hearts softened in hearing the gospel, and that you would lead us to those that would be receptive. We also want to pray for the continued health and well-being of Brother Joe Maple's family. We pray for the health and safety of those who watch and support us online. We want to pray for Joseph Knight and his wife over in the UK. They have a desire for children, and we just pray for them in that, Lord, that you bless them. And we also want to pray for them and a relief from the sodomite vexation that they're going through over there, Lord. You know the details in that, Lord. We just pray that you be with them. And we also want to lift up our praises to your name, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for all of our church families and those we've been able to get saved. We thank you for the freedom to continuously preach the gospel every week, and for you keeping us safe during the battles we all fight. We thank you, Lord, for exposing those who would come into the church to do harm or cause any discord or division, Lord. We just pray that, or we thank you, Lord, that they're gone and they're out of here, Lord, that they wouldn't be a burden, Lord. And we also want to thank you, Lord, for the two unspoken prayers that were answered from Miss Patty, Lord. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turn to 2 Samuel 13. Starting in verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down, and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come, and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house, and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour, and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan, and poured them out before him. But he refused to eat. And Amnon said, Have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, Come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he had hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, Arise, be gone. And she said unto him, There is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him, and said, Put now this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her. For with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins apparel. Then his servant brought her out, and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head, and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head, and went on crying. And Absalom her brother said unto her, Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon, because he had forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears in Baal-Azor, which is beside Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, Behold, now thy servant hath sheep shears. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant. And the king said to Absalom, Nay, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be chargeable unto thee. And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. Then said Absalom, If not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, Why should he go with thee? But Absalom pressed him, that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, Mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, Smite Amnon, then kill him, fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man got him up upon his mule and fled. And it came to pass, while they were in the way, that tidings came to David, saying, Absalom has slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. Then the king arose, and tore his garments, and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. And Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, Let not my lord suppose that ye have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Now therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart, to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, Behold, the king's sons come, as thy servant said, so it is. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that, behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur, and David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. Dad, would you lead us into a word of prayer?
All right, amen. We're in 2 Samuel chapter number 13. If you would, real quickly, look down at verse number 1. So it says this, it says, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom the son of David had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon the son of David loved her." Now don't miss this here in verse number 2. Look what it says. It says, "And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her." What does it mean to be vexed? It means to be troubled. It means to be plagued. If you remember Lot, it was said about Lot that the Sodomites had vexed his soul day to day, meaning this guy here, Amnon, is in a troubling situation. Now, keep your place there. I'm going to talk for a minute, but go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. We're going to come back here, so keep something in this chapter here. We're going to come back. But again, going back to the story here, okay, you've got Amnon, who is vexed. Then you have the innocent, who is Tamar. And then you have Jonadab, who's supposed to be the friend, okay? Now let's look at this metaphorically for a second. You have Amnon, a guy who's vexed. He represents a lot of people today that are just kind of floating around. They're vexed, they're troubled, they've got a lot of issues, but they're not quite sure how to go about solving those. So what this guy does is he actually goes to Jonadab. Now, Jonadab is a guy who was trying to actually control this situation, okay? Because Jonadab's advice, what he tells Amnon to do is wicked, it's not right, and he knows that, okay? And again, we're going to come back and break that all down for you here in a second. And then, of course, you have the innocent Tamar. She represents the people who obviously get affected by the two groups of people we're going to talk about today. But 2 Corinthians, we'll get to the title in a second, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If you would, I want to highlight something here. Look down at verse number 9. So before we start reading, let me just give you a quick overview here. Okay, so obviously Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, you know, addressing a lot of problems in the church. There were people doing some crazy things, people actually, you know, pitting preachers against each other, you know, believing false doctrines. There was a guy who committed fornication to the degree to where it was even unheard of amongst the Gentiles, okay? And so this is the follow-up letter to that and so many more issues. And then actually back up to verse number 7, Paul is starting to address the issue of forgiveness, okay? Because he writes these letters, they start to get stuff right, and now it's time to comfort. And so I want you to notice what he says right here in verse 7. He says, "So that contrarywise ye ought rather to forgive him." Okay, well, who is the him there? Well, it's going back to verse 5. He says, if anybody has caused grief. Okay, so basically what he's saying, if anyone's caused grief, we've had to address this situation. Church discipline has to been or has been enacted. He's like, if there's been a change, then guess what? Verse 7, "So that contrarywise ye ought rather forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow." Okay? And you'll see where I'm going here in just a minute. So what's the application right off the bat here? Well, if we just become a group of people, okay, and we get called to the carpet or the Word of God exposes something that we're not believing right, we're not doing right, and we're just like, yeah, whatever, you know, what's the result of that? You know, we're going to have issues between us and God, okay? There's going to be a fellowship issue there, okay? Because there's forgiveness that needs to be taking place. Now, let's go back to the church issue. What happens if we have to rebuke someone from church? Maybe we have to kick somebody out, and they get right, and they say, hey, you know, yeah, I was being dumb or whatever. I'm not doing that anymore, and we allow them to come back. Now, what happens if they say that, and we're like, you know what? No. Okay, we're not going to let you come back. That person would be overcome with much sorrow. Now, who would be happy about that? Would it be God or would it be the devil? be the devil. And you'll see why here in a second. Look at verse 8. It says, wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. Verse 9, for to this end also did I write that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. Verse 10, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. So he's explaining why he's going to forgive these people should they decide to do that. Now look at verse 11 here. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Okay. Now that word there, devices, that is plural, meaning the devil obviously has multiple, many, who knows, millions of different devices that he likes to use on the world, but also inside of the church to cause harm, to cause overmuch sorrow, to hurt people. Okay. Now, what I'm going to be preaching about today is kind of interesting. I'm just going to give you the title. The title is Simping Ain't Easy. Okay, simping ain't easy. Now, before we get into talking about what a simp is and all of that stuff, we have to understand that there's really another group that we have to expose before that, and that would be the pimps. Okay, that would be the pimps. So an alternate title might be Pimping and Simping Ain't Easy. Okay, and you might be thinking, oh, this is goofy or whatever. No, it'll make sense here in a moment. Okay, this is an actual problem that a lot of people have. A lot of people will find themselves actually in the category of a simp. Okay, now the Bible's going to tell you that a simp is a simple person. Okay, we don't want to be a simple person. If you just type in the word simp in the internet or on Google, it's going to give you several different definitions. We're going to cover quite a few of them tonight, but the most basic one that we're going to start with is a simp is somebody who is silly or foolish. Okay, somebody we do not want to be. Now, who here would apply that to Amnon in the story we just read? Okay, definitely silly, definitely foolish. Okay, now did he have the control in that situation? Not necessarily. He had physical control of Tamar. He took that, but he did that largely because of the person who was controlling him mentally, who I would say is more of a pimp, which is Jonadab. Okay. Now let me show you how, or just tell you a story real quick on how this sermon came to be. It wasn't too long ago. I was doing some work for some people that have a business, and a refrigerator went out. So I'm over there trying to work on it, and old grandpa comes home, and he's like, looking for his grandson. Well, the whole time I've been working, his grandson's been running back and forth. He's got this big headset on, you know, control in hand. He's playing online games. It's like 8:30 in the morning. And his grandfather comes home, and he just flips out. I mean, this guy's just going nuts. And he's just like, what did I tell you? I wanted your teeth brushed. I wanted you to eat breakfast. He's like giving him a list of stuff that he wanted to do. And he's like, and you told me you were going to do it. And the kid's like, I got to play this game first. This is important. My social life, you don't even care about it. You know, this kid's probably like, I don't know, maybe 11 or 12 years old. And I'm trying so hard to focus and not laugh because this is getting loud. And it's always awkward when you're just trying to do your job and people are fighting and yelling and screaming and stuff. So I'm like, whatever. And then the guy starts getting real animated and he goes, you know what? You're going to grow up to be nothing but a simp. In fact, that's what you are right now. You're a simp. And I'm like, a simp? You know, my mind's kind of thinking like, simple? Because I literally didn't know what what he was referring to him is. And he's like, I've been trying to raise you to be a pimp this entire summer. He goes, let me tell you something, boy. There's two kinds of people in the world. There are simps and there are pimps. And you're going to be a pimp whether you like it or not. And then he looks to me and he's like, my man right here, this guy is a pimp. And I'm like, no, dude, I am not a pimp, okay? You got this all wrong. And I'm not a simp either, whatever that means. It's just like, well, just play along with me, man. You know, play. I'm trying to help the boy out. I'm like, not at my expense, you're not. I am not either of those, okay? But I bring that up because that is the device, okay? Those are devices of the world. We talk about this all the time. The devil loves nothing more than to put people into categories, okay? Now, the world would have you to believe that there really are only two categories. There are simps and there are pimps. There's alpha and there's beta. And then the Christians just, like, got to fit into one of those two categories. But what they have no idea of is that we're not of this world. We are of another system. There's obviously problems in both of those camps. I don't want any part of it. For example, you know, I don't recommend you do this all the time, but, you know, if you're scrolling along and, I don't know, YouTube shorts, for example, getting hooked on watching people get bit by sharks or alligators like I was doing the other day, you know, you may come across a video of somebody promising to rescue a bunch of young simps. You know, there's all kinds of these people out there. There's a guy by the name of, I mentioned him before, but I forgot what his name is. His name is Andrew Tate. This guy's a world champion kickboxer. I guess he's got a real big podcast. Apparently, he's got a lot of money. He's worth millions and millions of dollars. And, you know, he's got this academy that you can join. You know, if you're finding it hard to build relationships with the opposite gender and things like that. But basically, his whole gimmick is, you know, that he's just this Ultraman. He's what a man should be. Okay, but what he goes around saying is, I'm going to show you how to have unlimited access to the physical relationship. Hopefully you can read between the lines, because I'm not going to go off and say what I'm really talking about. But that's his thing, right? You know, I'm going to show you guys how you can, you know, just excel at being a, let me put it this way, a great fornicator, okay, a whoremonger. That's basically what he's going around saying. That's what he's trying to teach people. And this guy's literally making millions off of simps, off of people that are like, wow, yeah, you know, I need help. I need to really be a man. For some reason, all these girls keep rejecting me and all these people keep rejecting me. Maybe I need to be more like him and I need to just go on a meat-only diet and do all this stuff and take all these supplements. Not ever once considering what they're really getting themselves into, okay? It's crazy. And that's just one guy. But these people are literally making a killing out there. And there's all kinds of them. I mean, there's all kinds of them. You can go no further than down the street here, stop at maybe two or three different new evangelical churches. And one of them, I guarantee you, is going to tell you about a camp that you can go to for maybe $5,000, $10,000. And guess what? That camp's going to be like maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. And they're going to put you through a little mini boot camp to toughen you up. Okay? Look, you don't really need to do that. What you need is what the Bible says, what the Bible has for us, which is learning how to not be simple without understanding, okay? That's how you stop becoming a simp, okay? But we're going to get deeper into that. And so what I wanted to do this evening is I wanted to address both topics, okay? Pimping and simping, because I'm telling you, both of them are not easy. Now, on your way back to 2 Samuel 13, I had to do it. I just had to do it, all right? How to do it. On your way back to 2 Samuel 13, stop at 1 Kings chapter number 2. 1 Kings chapter number 2. Now, obviously, next Sunday evening, we'll be in 1 Kings chapter number 2. And I won't have time to dwell on this verse. So in order to discipline myself, I'm just going to get some things out of the way right now with one verse, okay? 1 Kings chapter 2, look at verse number 2 when you get there. So again, really what this all boils down to is defining and defending manhood according to the Bible, okay? Because the world has their two options that they want people to funnel into. And both of them are wicked, and honestly, both of them are the same thing. Because if the basic definition of a simp is somebody who is silly or foolish, well, that's exactly what a pimp is. Because the definition of a pimp is a man that controls prostitutes, and it gets deeper than that, too. You know, I know people use it as slang, as a joke, like, hey, pimp. You know, sometimes people will say that to me, you know, at work, and I don't even know them. They're like, hey, pimp, come on over here. And I'm like, all right, well, whatever, man, you know. I'm not going to be a simp about that, so... All right, but anyways, back to exposing them, okay? Now, let me just kind of just read this verse here and just think about what I've already mentioned to you, okay? Do you really need a program? Do you really need somebody to guide you day by day and just teach you how to control other people and to how to eat and every little aspect of your life in order for you to be successful, okay? Well, that's not what David said when he was giving the kingdom of God over to his son. 1 Kings chapter 2, if you would, look at verse number 2. Look what it says. So David says this, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore. Okay, so for that reason. So because David's saying, I will no longer be here. I'm about to expire, right? We studied chapter 1 last week. I don't want to get into that. But David has basically said, all right, Solomon, it's time for you to take the throne. You're taking over. And then he says this to him, I go the way of all the earth. That is reality. That is truth. That is what we have to deal with. He says, be strong now, therefore, and show thyself a man. Be strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Okay, because the world would like to have us to believe that we need to enroll in these courses, buy these books, do all of this crazy stuff, you know, in order to be a man. And I'm going to get some stuff for the ladies next week, okay? But a lot of this will apply to you, so don't tune me out, okay? Now go back to 2 Samuel, chapter number 13. But when David is about to give the kingdom over to his son, what does he say? He says, be strong, therefore, okay? Meaning don't simp.
Don't be silly. Don't be foolish. Don't be sitting here just dwelling on the fact that I won't be over your shoulder. I won't be here to answer your questions directly. What you need to do is to be strong. It is a personal choice. Okay, be strong. Now, what was one of the things that Solomon was known for? The main thing that he was known for? Wisdom, exactly. Okay, you're starting to see how this connects? Okay, the key to not being a simp is free. Okay, it's increasing wisdom. That's what's going to help a person who is simple to no longer be simple or a simp. Okay, and again, this gets deeper. We'll get into it here in just a moment. But he says, show thyself a man. This is a commandment, right? The Bible says in the New Testament that we who are saved are kings and we are priests. You know, and those of us who are men ought to show ourselves men. Those of us who are women ought to show yourselves women. Okay, and again, what do you think the world thinks about that? Well, that's not very nice. That's pretty judgmental. Who are you to say what a woman is? Who are you to say what a man is? You're not a biologist. No, but I'm not a simp either. And I'm not a stupid pimp. Okay, I'm not going to succumb to the pimping of the United States government and the rich billionaires that control everything in order to get along to go along. It's not going to happen. God's people are above that. We're called for more than that. We should not find ourselves into either one of these categories. Okay, but before I get too excited, let's just read a couple of verses here. Okay, if you would, again, one more time, look down at verse number 15. Look what it says. It says, then Amnon hated her exceedingly. Let's stop right there. We just read the story, okay? Again, you got this guy. His name's Amnon. He's got an unsavory lust, honestly, for his half-sister, okay? And, you know, it's got him down. It's got him weak. And then what happens? Old Jonadab comes along, right? Look at verse number 2. Back up again to verse number 2. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Again, we could talk about that for hours, but look at verse 4. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. So notice this. Notice how Amnon is just going day to day. He hasn't made a decision yet. He doesn't have a plan. All he knows is he's got these feelings and he doesn't know how to deal with them. So it's affecting him outwardly. And people are starting to notice, obviously, because Jonadab walks by and is like, hey, something's wrong with you. Aren't you going to tell me what it is? Okay, that's what the world is doing with all of their different programs in order to help men become what they view a man should be. Now, everybody in here understands that a man should not do something like this. Everybody in here understands that what makes you a man is not how many women you can get. Okay? It's not how many women you can get or how many women you can please or how many women want you or whatever it is. That's what the world wants people to believe so that it can control them. Because what that does is it vexes people. It's a vexation. It's problematic. It's troublesome. The world right now is spending billions and billions of dollars coming from who knows where, all these wicked people, to put smut and trash in front of your eyes to make you think that you are not worth anything because all these pretty girls out on the street want a man with certain physiological aspects or whatever it is, okay? And then you start watching that stuff and you start thinking to yourself, man, well, if that's what these pretty girls want, maybe my wife's not good enough. Maybe, you know, the person I'm engaged to is not good enough. Maybe she thinks just like them. She does, she's not worth your time. And if you're married, you know, we got a different sermon we got to talk about, okay? So hopefully you're just starting to follow the logic here, okay? Jonadab is a picture of the world. In the picture of the world, who has multitudes of people ready to pounce, ready to control people that are vexed. Again, this always goes back to why we need to be ready with an answer, ready with wisdom to help people like Amnon. What would have happened if he would have ran into Jonathan, if Jonathan was still alive? Somebody of that caliber. What if he would have ran into Benaiah the son of Jehoiada? You know, or somebody else. I mean, even Joab at this time hadn't gone completely rotten yet. You know, do you think they would have given him this advice? I don't believe so. It could have changed the entire course of this. Maybe they could have said, hey, Amnon, maybe you need to get in the Word of God. Maybe you need to go down to the tabernacle and talk to the priest. Maybe you need to go see your father. Maybe you need some help. Okay? That's where we come in. We come in to avert these types of situations. Because when the simp meets the pimp, they become equal. Because keep reading here. Look what it says in verse 5. It says, "And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat that, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand." I mean, this is wicked beyond control. He's literally got a plan put in place here to where he's telling Amnon to go through this. That way he won't back out of it. Okay, he's literally telling Amnon, put yourself in front of more YouTube videos, more smut videos. Basically, that's what he's telling him. Control. Because he knows that Amnon's already vexed for his half-sister. And he knows if he can make sure that he gets him into this situation, that he's going to lose it. He's going to go for it. He's going to commit the unthinkable, something that ought not to have been done in Israel. Look at verse 6. "So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I might eat at her hand." You know, and again, you know, I was scrolling, looking at people getting chomped up by alligators or whatever the other day, showing Kate in every couple seconds, you know. Sometimes I need a mental break. And this video came on. This guy was on the Alex Jones show, this Andrew Tate. And he's talking about, you know, I'm eating 3 steaks, you know, every single meal and all that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, plus the Deca and the D-ball and all the other steroids you're probably taking. But we won't talk about that right now because I don't have any proof. But, you know, he's just like, you know, I've got unlimited access to females and I've got unlimited access to this and I got unlimited access to that. You know, and then he's basically bringing it back around, you know, anybody out there who needs help, you want to be an alpha, you want to be this, you know, you come join my course and I'm going to help you. All this guy is doing is what Jonadab does. Because once you join the course, you start to see the material, you start to see his vision. Look what you can have. You can actually watch a woman baking cakes. You can actually control her this way. You know, this is how you gain control of the ladies. You're done. You're hooked. It's going to be very, very hard for you to get out of that situation. Look at verse number 7. "Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress some meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, and he refused to eat. And Amnon said, Have out all men from me. And they went out, every man from him." So now he's vexed beyond. There ain't no turning around at this point. This guy's like, I've got to go through with this. This was too much. I mean, think about that. Think about Jonadab's plan. He said, hey, I want you to go through with this. Call your sister. Have her bring cakes, you know. And she does that, and he can't even go through with it. He can't even eat it. You know, he's just like, have everybody out now. Right? His lust has literally maxed out. This is the danger of playing with fire. You think you won't get burnt, but really, the reality is you will. You go through something like this, you fail to remove yourself from something like this, and you're going to go down. Look at verse 10. Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the meat unto the chamber that I may eat of thine hand." And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. Verse 11. "And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, Come lie with me, my sister." And there you have it. He goes through with it. You know what happens next? It's not a very savory situation. It's terrible. Okay? And you say, well, what's the application right off the bat here? I mean, think about this. Amnon, ultimately, I mean, he's kind of pimping out his own sister, if you think about it. He's followed through with the orders of his boss, Jonadab, and he feels like, you know what? This is going to bring me satisfaction. Okay? And then you read this in verse 15. "Then Amnon hated her exceedingly." And you know, why would that happen? Because the love that he had for her was tainted when he allowed it to be turned into lust through the influence of the world and the world's system and the world's advice. As soon as that happened, right, he realized it only fulfilled a physical need that he had. And once that was fulfilled, everything else was gone, empty, done for. And all that is left is nothing but hate. He hates himself, he hates what he did, and he hates what he did to her. And in fact, he hates it so much that he actually hates her. Look at the rest of the verse. So that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise and be gone. If that's not a pimp move, I don't know what is, right? That's what the world wants men to do today to women, to use and to abuse. I mean, think about that. That's what the course of the world is doing. Now, at the first, Amnon couldn't allow his mind to even go there, right? It wasn't until he subjected himself to the world's advice, which is Jonadab. You know, and you say, well, why bring this up? What's the whole point here? Well, here's the point, okay? Pimps can't see anything above the waist or deeper than the face. And that's the truth. Now, look, I've met, like, legitimate pimps before. When I was in Japan, I've told you guys this story before. In 2011, I was walking across the bridge. It was about 10:30 at night. And four guys on a bridge tried to get money from me. And, you know, I'm not some tough guy or anything like that, but I'll just let you know it didn't work out. Okay, I had a plan, and I'll tell you the story later. I don't have time to get into it. But 2 years later, I wound up going back to Japan, okay? And so the way things work in Japan, you'll be walking down the street, and it'll be broad daylight out, and you see a guy out there, and it's usually the Nigerians, okay? There's a strong Nigerian influence in Japan. And you'll be walking around, and there'd be a shop with clothes. We used to call them the FUBU shops because they had FUBU gear, okay? It's just what it was, you know? They had some pretty cool stuff, though, you know? And they had some hoodies that would zip all the way up to the top of the hood. And I was like, that'd be kind of cool to have a mask like that. They had one of, like, Optimus Prime. That brought me back to my childhood. But anyways, I'm walking by there one afternoon, and I stopped in there and I said, hey, man, I said, do you remember me? And he's like, no, I don't know you. I was like, no, I met four of you guys about 2 years ago on that bridge right over there. And they tried to get money from me. He's like, no, I wouldn't do so. I was like, yeah, that was you and your guys. That was you and your guys tried to rob me. And he's like, no, I'm Christian, brother, I'm Christian. I was like, I'm Christian, okay? But here's the thing. I'm like, why is your shop open at midnight? Because here's the thing, here's what you don't know. At midnight, the lights get brighter in these FUBU shops, okay? And all of a sudden, you see a lot of scantily clad women walking in between the aisles of clothing. And he said, no, we need extra help at night because drunk sailors come buy clothes. I was like, no, I don't think that's what's going on here, man. You know, I'm just playing with him because I know he can't outrun me at this point in my life. And I'm like, all I got to do is just make it to the base real quick and I'm safe. You know, and so I'm just talking to this guy, and he finally breaks down, and he doesn't admit that he's a pimp, but he's like, there's a lot of pimps. And I'm like, yeah, and a lot of your pimps go and send people out at night and try to bully people into giving them money, don't they? He's like, not mine, brother, not mine. But yes, there are some around here that do that, and it's a problem, and I'm sorry if they ever hurt you. But he got down to telling me the business, you know, that those people are out there, and they literally are human trafficking, okay? So there are literally pimps like that. But a lot of times, you know, when we hear that word, you know, we kind of think like, that's it. Okay. But pimping is actually much broader than that. Okay. It's actually, again, going back to the definition, which is control. That's really what it boils down to. Someone trying to control another person. Okay. Now, obviously, the definition in the dictionary applies to men. Okay. I don't know any women pimps, but you know, maybe they're out there. But here's the thing, it doesn't always have to boil down to money. These guys selling these programs online to the vexed, to the vulnerable, they in themselves are pimps. I believe that Jonadab is a form of a pimp, trying to control somebody who is simple, somebody who is vexed, somebody who is down and out that doesn't have wisdom. Okay, those types of people are everywhere. I'm serious, they're everywhere. They're at your job sites, they're in your families, they're in your neighborhoods, they're on the internet, they are everywhere. Can you say, do you really need to preach this type of stuff to Christians? Yes, absolutely. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Okay, because, you know, people can get vexed. I mean, think about it. I don't know whether Amnon was saved or lost. It doesn't say, you know, but the story is he's the son of a king. And we know we're not saved by works, right? People that are saved can get vexed. People that are saved can get bad advice. I mean, look. How many times did King Saul try to kill David? To try to literally kill David. But yet the guy's in heaven. He's with Samuel. And the last time I checked, I don't think anybody would say that Samuel's in hell. Right? So again, don't ever get this attitude like, oh, this couldn't be me. I'm just going to tune you out. You have no idea. You have no idea that person that you get saved at the door that could be in this situation, and you have the answer. You have the edification. You have the encouragement. And to further prove that, 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 22. What does Paul tell Timothy? He says, hey, make sure you let everyone know this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee also youthful lust. It's a youthful thing, right? You go talk to a group of teenage youths out here on the street, and they're probably going to tell you, oh, yeah, you know, what are you into? Oh, getting girls, right? Getting girls. You know, it's terrible when you see these guys that are 30, 40, 50, and upwards, you know, literally trying to be a pimp, trying to be a man whore, trying to gain all these young girls. And guess what? There's a movement out there today, and this movement is growing tremendously at tremendous speed for these young 20, 30-year-olds to snatch a 40 or 50-year-old man from his family. It's growing, and it's out there, and I'm seeing it in the world. Because don't forget, I work in the world. Okay, these people are out there, right? I call them homewreckers. We call them homewreckers. Right? See, can you turn a hoe into a housewife for further information on that? But again, Paul here brings this up. Flee also youthful lusts. Okay? Just because you're saved doesn't mean you can't get sucked into youthful lusts. Right? You see, the pimp sits back and says, oh man, I'm going to get all these girls. I'm going to be playing all these women. Look, that is a youthful lust that needs to be drawn out of people. Okay? Look, and single guys will struggle with this a lot. They'll struggle with this tremendously. You can leave your place there and go to Jude. Go to the book of Jude. Right before Revelation, go to Jude. So again, let me just recap what we just talked about, okay? The story in 2 Samuel 13, you've got Amnon, okay? He metaphorically is a picture of a simp, somebody who is silly, somebody who is foolish. But also, you know, he's vexed. He's without wisdom. He needs help. And then you have Jonadab. Jonadab is a picture of the world. And I would say, you know, on some level, he's a pimp. He's trying to control other people. Because what happens later on? He acts like he had nothing to do with it when he gets called to the carpet. Right? He acts like he had nothing to do. Oh, yeah, yeah, he did all this stuff here. You know, Jonadab was not a friend at all. The guy was, in my opinion, a devil. Here's the thing. Pimps and simps really are the same. Okay, Jonadab, silly, foolish to even think about giving that advice. But the problem is he's a smart, silly, foolish person. Smart in a wicked way. Smart in an evil way. And that's what we have to be careful of. Because there are a lot of people out there that are writing books. They have YouTube channels. They have influence. They are literally leaders. And they are very educated in the things that I'm talking about. And they have a way to creep into your mind and to get you subtly off track. And this is a very, very big problem. But what I say is really they're the same thing, okay? So let's move on here, knowing that now, whether it's a pimp or a simp, doesn't matter. The world tries to get you into one or two categories. The pimps are always making money off the simps. Let's talk about the definition of a simp. Obviously, I said it's somebody who's silly or somebody who's foolish, but there's another definition that I want to read for you because this is kind of evolving in our culture and I think it'd just be good for us to know this. So just listen to this. It says, simps, okay, defined. Simp is an internet slang term describing someone who shows excessive sympathy and attention toward another person, typically someone who does not reciprocate the same feelings in pursuit of affection or a physical relationship. Okay. Now I want to kind of move on and talk about that because it's really the bigger picture today. If somebody calls you a simp, I want you to know what they're accusing you of. Okay. So for example, somebody who's spending way too much time and attention trying to get someone to like them that doesn't like them. Okay. And it's usually a guy trying to get a girl's attention, right? She's, you know, on another level. Somebody once told me this and it made perfect sense. They said, hey, this will save you a lot of heartache. Chevys don't date Porsches. And I thought about that and like, you know, that's true. That's true. The problem is A lot of these pimps today, they're going to the simps and telling them, hey, you're a Porsche. You're a 10. And these guys start believing it. Like, yeah, you know, I'm eating steaks all day long, man. I'm working out now. You know, I'm moving up to be a 10. And they keep trying to go get that other 10 female's attention. And she realizes, you know, you're nothing. You're actually weak because you're trying to do everything I want. You're trying to just do nothing but please me. You're ignoring the responsibilities that you have in your own life. And she can see all the other issues with him. It doesn't work. And then he winds up becoming vexed. And it's just this everlasting cycle that is absolutely horrible. But going back to this definition here, it says simp is describing somebody who shows excessive sympathy or attention toward another person, typically someone who does not reciprocate the same feelings, okay? This is a problem. This is where it really starts to hit home for even Christians themselves, okay? Is that when we just spend a lot of extra time and effort trying to get certain people to really, really like us, to really become our friends, and maybe they just, for whatever reason, the chemistry is not there. They just don't want to be that close to us. And then what happens? We start trying to be like them. We start just basically throwing out who we actually are just to impress that person. At that moment in time when you're doing that, you are a simp. And that is not good. You're in Jude. So we're going to look at verse number 16 here. But leading up to this verse here, Jude's talking about people that are ungodly. And he's talking about the coming judgment on those people. He's talking about the mockers. He's talking about the people that are speaking ungodly things to God himself. Verse 16, look what he says. He says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Don't miss this. Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Having men's person in admiration because of advantage. Okay? This is a huge problem today. And if you don't believe me, go read 1 Corinthians. What were the people in Corinth saying? I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. And they probably had others saying, I'm of Peter, or I'm of John Mark, you know, who knows, okay? Think about that. We have people today doing the same thing. Hey, well, I've listened to 500 sermons from this preacher. Well, I've listened to 500 sermons from this preacher, so that means I'm smarter than you. And these people are arguing. They may not be talking like that. They may not actually be saying it like I'm saying it, but really that dynamic is going on. And it's a problem. What does the Bible say? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Okay, so we are studying the Word of God. If you want to be a preacher, you need to study the Word of God to show yourself approved unto Him. The moment you step aside from that and you're just trying to please someone else, you're trying to get the attention of another preacher or another evangelist or someone else, you are a simp. That's what you are. And that's a problem. Paul had to deal with that in those churches at Corinth. And here we're reading Jude, and he's talking about the ungodly. He's talking about the world and what the world likes to do. They love to hold people in high regard. Whereas the Bible says we ought not to think about man above that which is written of man. But here we are today going around, oh, I'm of this guy, I'm of this gal, I'm of this club, I'm of that club. It ought not to be so. The moment you do that, you are the simp. You are the simple one. Because that displays a lack of knowledge, a lack of wisdom, and it really just shows that you're a yes man with no self-esteem. You can't study something for yourself. You can't back up anything for yourself. You just got to be, well, I'm of Apollos. People do that all the time. I got an email today, you know, from somebody like, you know, it must be really hard not having gone to seminary. We want to help you out. Here's a free, we're going to give you a free semester at this Idaho Baptist College. And this other guy did it. And guess what? He became successful. He started drawing hundreds of people. And now he's able to retire and just do part-time ministry. I don't want any part of that because I'm more interested in studying the Word for myself to show myself approved unto God. Now, here's the thing. There's nothing in the world wrong with you guys listening to sermons from other churches. So don't get me wrong, okay? In fact, I kind of need you to do that so that I can stay on top of it. Because I work 70 hours a week. I just don't have the time. And I'm actually just going to tell you this right now. I actually don't listen to New IFB preaching. Unless it's the guys that preach here or unless someone comes here to preach or I go somewhere else. And I know you're thinking, well, then you're not New IFB. Why do you do that? Here's a little thing about me, okay? For example, let me just say this. For example, Pastor Thompson will send me a video. Maybe it's like the Macho Man Randy Savage. You know, the little cream video, right? I'll run around for the next 2 weeks just saying that stuff, just goofing around about it, okay? Here's the thing. When I first realized, you know, hey, there's this group of churches out there that I can go to. I mean, they're spitting out all this truth. I listen to every sermon I get my hands on, you know? And that's what I was regurgitating. Well, after I become a preacher, I start listening to myself. You know, what do I need to work on, this and that? And I start hearing myself saying things that other people have said, literally stealing ideas that other people came up with, and I'm not even realizing I'm doing it. Okay? And so a couple years ago, I made the personal decision because of the way that I am, because the way my brain's like a parrot. You know, you send me a video and it's just like, it repeats over and over again, over and over again. I'm like, I'm cutting it all out and I'm just doing my own study. That's just for me. That's just what I do because I want to make sure that I'm studying to show myself approved. That's it, okay? You know, maybe in like 2 or 3 years, I've kind of thought about this. I'll go back to actually listening again. But I need to make sure that I'm myself, that I'm my own preacher, I'm my own man. I've got my own stuff, okay? That's just me. That doesn't apply to you guys, okay? That's just something that I do. But take that for what it is. I have no idea why I'm even talking about that now. Oh, yeah, Sims. They do way too much to get other people's attention, okay? You guys know how I feel about this. It is a waste of time to waste your energy, your family, your resources to try to get other people to like you that don't like you. Remember when I preached at the Red Hot Preaching Conference 2 years ago? I said you put people into 3 categories. You've got your friends, okay? These are people that are there for you no matter what. They're at your highs, they're at your lows, they're not turning their backs on you. My guess is you got very few of those, okay? And then you got your frenemies. No, I'm sorry. Then you got your friendlies. I'm sorry, I skipped one. You got your friendlies, okay? And your friendlies are the people that you're acquainted with. Maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe you work with them, maybe you got a lot of things in common with them, but they have not yet been proven. They're not bad, okay? But you have not proved them. You don't know if you can trust them with the deeper, harder things that you've gone through, okay? Those take time to bring over into the actual friend category. And then you have your frenemies, okay? These are the people that are nice to your face, but something's off. And you could just feel that, and you're just like, man, I don't know what it is. There's not quite a beef yet, but there's definitely not a good friendship. They only kind of compliment you when maybe other people around, things of that nature, okay? You need to remember that. That's going to help save you from this simp mentality, okay? Because what you don't want and what you'll often find are people that are very manipulative, oftentimes will be of that Porsche type category, okay? And what they will do, maybe they're not even a Porsche, but they might be that to you. You might be like, man, I really look up to this person, blah, 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 or whatever. You got to be careful with that because these Jonadabs can sniff that out. Jonadab could sniff out the vexation of Amnon. And likewise, a lot of these people that you have that are frenemies and you can't figure out that tension and that beef that you have with them, they're trying to sniff you out. They're trying to see what they can get you to do for them. And that's what I'm saying. You want to keep those people in that category, but it takes strength and it takes courage. It takes you saying, hey, I'm me. God created me this way. It is what it is. I don't care what anybody else says. If you don't like me, fine, get out. I mean, have you not seen that here at this church? You know what I mean? I think it's pretty clear that's how I roll. And I think it's pretty clear by everybody in here who keeps coming back, that's how you roll too. So let's move on. Did I have you go to 1 Kings 21? Probably not. Go to 1 Kings chapter 21. Don't worry, I got a story for you. All right, while you're turning to 1 Kings chapter 21, let me tell you a story of a mega simp that I used to work with, okay? This guy was a mega simp, man. So, you know, it was back when I worked for the government. We were sitting around one day because you always have a lot of downtime, and this guy's got a pill bottle. He's just shaking it. He's just like, yeah, I got to be on these meds, man. Otherwise, I just go nuts. I just go crazy. These things got to restrain me. I'll get back to that in a second. And I said, you know, I was on the bus the other way going home. It's a place I used to work. They'd come pick you up in a bus and just drop you off because, you know, they want to control you or whatever. But actually, it was a blessing. But I said, hey, man, I saw you on the side of the road the other day on my way home. Everything all right? Did your car break down? And he's like, how much did you see? Okay, the reason why he said that is because him and his wife were actually fighting, and I saw the whole thing. Yeah, they were actually fighting on the side of the road, and she's in his face just like doing this to him, like his cheeks like this, you know, and I'm like, dang. You know, I wanted to get the scoop because I'm kind of nosy. Get it from my mom. So and he's like, well, how much did you see? I was like, ah, I just saw you guys on the side of the road. Everything cool? And he's like, you know what, man? He's like, it is now. He's like, my wife, and I went to high school with both of these people, which is why I felt it was appropriate to get in his business. But he says, you know what? Yeah, my wife was mad. You know, she was getting a little physical. I was like, oh, yeah? You okay? Is that why you need those pills? He's like, no, man, no. And I'm like, well, what happened? And he's like, look, I need an overbearing woman in my life. That's what he says. He says, I need a strong woman in my life. He's like, I need a woman to set me straight and to tell me what to do. I called him a name, and it wasn't a simp. Okay? But he just kind of starts laughing. Oh, it is what it is, man. But I'm secure in my manhood. I was like, no, you're not. No, you're not, dude. I'm like, that's weak. What's wrong with you? Him and I had the first same name. And I was like, you need to change your first name to Ho. And understand, back in this culture, I could say whatever I wanted to. Anything I want to do to people, pretty much. Unless it was to the opposite gender. But dude, there's no holding back. So later on down the road about that whole pill bottle, he actually got caught mixing different pills, and he didn't get fired because it takes an act of Congress to get you fired from that job, but he wound up getting suspended indefinitely. And I often wonder and think, like, man, did he need those pills because he's nothing but a mega simp? You know, and he's just going on about how much of a man he is because his wife picks out these flower blouse type dresses for him. And he keeps telling him, well, you know, she's the one that made me realize I'm a metro. I'm like, you're a Geo Metro? You're like a little car? You know? So I'm like, and then that's where I learned what a metro means. I'm like, so you're effeminate, basically, is what you're telling me. Okay? And that's how a lot of simps are. Okay? And we don't want that. In fact, the Bible's got a great story of a guy who's just like this individual I'm talking about, and his name's Ahab. Okay? You want to talk about a simp in the Bible? Somebody who is just got zero self-esteem, who holds other people, in this case it's Jezebel's wife, in high regards. You know, it's Ahab. This dude is a problem, and he's a simp. And here's the big kicker of them all. He's a king. Think about that. This guy's a king, and he's a simp. Let's take a look. 1 Kings chapter 21, look at verse number 2. It says this, "Then Ahab spake unto Naboth." Okay, so Naboth is a good guy in the story. Naboth's got a vineyard. Naboth's got, he's secure with what he has and why he has it. He doesn't want to let it go. Look at this. "And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." Okay, so Ahab has a decent proposal here, right? I mean, sounds like a good deal. But here's the thing. Naboth should have the freedom to say yay or nay. Look at verse 3. "And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." Let's stop right there for a second, okay? That's the attitude that we need to have, because we're the Naboths of the story. You've got your Amnons, your Ahabs are the same type of person. Then you've got your Jonadabs, Jezebel, same type of person. And then you have your Tamar and your Naboth, the innocent. Okay, those that are outside of this equation. We should have this type of attitude. We should be secure with what we have. We shouldn't let these pimps and these simps come along and say, wow, you could have so much more. You could be so much better if you just would look up to me and follow all the things that I'm doing. It's like, no, we're doing our own thing. We're following the Word of God the way it was written. We don't care if it doesn't bring us 500 people a week. We don't care if YouTube shuts our channel down. Whatever. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that we do not forsake the inheritance of our fathers. That's what matters. We don't want to let down Paul. We don't want to let down all the work that they did starting these churches, because that's what people are doing today, because they're simps, because they're weak, and because they're pathetic. Look at verse number 4. It says, "And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word." Think about that. Because of the word which Naboth, the Jezreelite, had spoken to him. So this guy's a king, right? He makes a decent offer. The guy says, I don't want it. I'm secure in who I am. He's just like, oh, man, this is terrible. So he goes home. This guy is pouting, right? He's literally moping. Look at what he says. Let's start over again. Look at verse 4. It says, "And Ahab came into his house, heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would not eat no bread." This dude, you want to talk about vex? Look, this guy's vexed, but this is a simp. Okay? This is a simp. Somebody who can't just take responsibility for the people in his own kingdom. I mean, look, if he has a vineyard that's better, why can't he just be content with that? And so you say, hey, I feel like I'm kind of in that simp category. No problem. I've got a word of wisdom for you from this story. Be content with such things as ye have. That there will elevate you above the simp and above the pimp. Verse 5, but Jezebel, his wife. Look, same thing. Jezebel's like Jonadab. These people always walking around. Looking, man, just looking for somebody weak over here, somebody simping over here, and they're going to pounce on you, man. Simps are wimps. They're defenseless. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? Verse 6, and he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. So she's like, what's the matter, little baby? You know, he's just like, Naboth told me no. Verse 7, and Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? So here you have his wife. Hey, aren't you the king? Don't you govern Israel? I mean, can't you create a law to just like manipulate him out of it or something? I mean, that would be more masculine. She's probably thinking that'd be more attractive than what you're doing right now. Because here's the reality, okay? Women don't want simps. It just is what it is, okay? You need to be who you are. You need to be content. And as a child of God, you need to be okay with that, that God has called us to live differently than the world. And if those girls out there don't want you because of that, they're not worth your time. They're not worth anything to you. Don't allow them to pull this type of behavior on you. Verse 7, and Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And of course, she's a daughter of Belial. She's a devil herself. So what does she do? Well, she comes up with a plan. Because that's what the world does. That's what the pimps do. They've got a plan. They have a plan for the simps. But again, we need to be outside of that and be able to recognize it for what it is, that it's equally wicked. We don't want any part of that. Because the innocent, like Naboth, the innocent, like Tamar, are the ones that get hurt. Okay? And we have an opportunity to actually be like heroes for the kingdom of God in those situations, to help people out. Okay, she comes up with this plan, and guess what? Who does she hire? The sons of Belial, right? Because they're reprobates. They will go ahead and do exactly what she wants. And what does she want? She says, hey, you guys go and just, you know, call Naboth to his meeting, you know, you'll lure him in, say, oh, you're being called on high, doing all these good things, and then you're going to lie about him, blaspheme in God, and then kill him. And that's exactly what happens. So you see this situation here, you see this triangle of how this works. You have the pimps, these are the predators, these are the people that prey on the weak, prey on the simple, but yet they're simple themselves, but they're different, right? And who always gets hurt? It's the people that are hanging in the balances, the people that just don't know any better. Or sometimes it's people like us that do know, that we get hurt because we have to deal with this in our families, we have to deal with this in our neighborhoods. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And again, Ahab was a king and a simp. You say, well, big deal. Well, you're a king. And if you don't understand these things, you could perhaps wind up being a simp. Somebody who's simple. Somebody who's gotten sucked in to holding people in admiration because of the advantage that they have. See, we should never look at someone else and be like, oh man, they're gifted such athletically. I've got to really work for that. And you just start overlooking everything they say and do just because they have that advantage. Or maybe somebody comes in here and they have a lot of money. That's an advantage. Are we going to hold that person in admiration? The moment you do, you're a simp. And you don't want to be a simp because a simp is wimp. Right? Simping ain't easy. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. We're going to start reading here in verse number 13. And I just want to say this. You know, we're going to talk just real quickly, some application here. What is manhood? Obviously, manhood is defined by what's between your ears and your heart. Okay, real true manhood is you taking responsibility and understanding that this book is where we draw the line no matter what anybody says. That's why Paul told Timothy, hey, be instant in season and out of season. Don't allow people to pull you outside of that. Don't allow people to make you feel less than what you are because maybe they have an advantage. Maybe they have this or they have that. That's not okay. That's not right. We don't let people make us feel like that. It's not right. It's not what we're called to do. In fact, here's what he tells the Corinthians in chapter 16, look at verse 13. He says this, after a big long rebuke, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Okay, what do you have people doing today? Oh, church is within you. You don't really need to just go to church. And the word of God is within you. You know, it's just how you feel, you know. Just love thy neighbor and coexist and you'll be perfectly fine. Do as thou wilt. Right? Isn't that what people are saying today? Whereas Paul's like, hey, no, stand fast in the faith. Right? Edify and evangelize. That's where it's at. And he says, quit you like men. Be strong. Now that applies to the women too, because the women definitely need strength, and especially in today's day and age. We'll talk about that next week. But look at verse 14. Let all your things be done with charity. Okay? So one thing these pimps on the internet will tell you is, you know, you ought not to show any love for these hoes or for these girls. And they'll just say things like that. You know, and they'll train men to act like that, to use and to abuse, just like Amnon learned from Jonadab. And that is a tragedy in and of itself. But the Bible says, hey, quit you like men, be strong. Let all things be done with charity. Let all things be done with love, not just a verbal love, but an active love, actually showing people that you care and doing things for other people and loving them that way, because that's what Christ wants us to do. Look at verse 15. He says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Look, he starts talking right after he gives the commandment. Hey, be strong, quit you like men. And then what does he say next? He says, let all things be done with charity. And then to give us an illustration, to give us an example, he says, hey, there's this group of people that have addicted themselves to the ministry. That's charity. That's love. That is what it's all about. Verse 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such. You see, and I bring that up because today, you know, if you don't submit yourself to this, which you're called to do if you're saved, not to stay saved, right? But to obviously grow and just be a disciple and to expand the kingdom of God, you have run the risk to go to another camp, whether that be the simp category or the pimp category. It doesn't matter. It's going to hurt you either way. He says that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Right? I mean, that's what this thing is all about. You know, but people today, they want to make you, they want to make us, they want to make us feel like we're not men. Like, oh, you got the soul winning thing, knocking on people's doors, having door slam in your face. I'll bet that makes you feel real tough. Huh, that's not, what good is that doing? It's doing more than we could possibly imagine. Okay, that is wisdom. That's displaying the manifold wisdom of God right there. Look at verse 17. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. So there you go, right? Supplying, taking care of one another's needs. That is charity. That is how you show yourself a man. Verse 18, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Paul's trying to help these people out because honestly, the Corinthians, by and large, became simps. The moment they started saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I got this, what happened next? Oh, we'll just allow this guy who's committed this crazy fornication to stay in here and be proud of it. Why were they proud of it? Because they were like, we're free in Christ, bro. We're free in Christ, man. Right? We can have, you know, we don't need that law stuff. And then here comes Paul like, you've completely missed this message here. You guys are jacked up. Let's see, verse 18. They have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. So he says that again to point people. Hey, young men in general, be strong. Okay, and here's how you do it. You remain faithful in these things. A good way to do it is to look at people who have addicted themselves to the ministry, who study the word, who labor in the word, and say, what can I do to help you out? You know, because the world's going to come by when you make that decision, and they're going to say, you're a simp. And you're going to say, no, I'm no Ahab. I'm not Amnon. Right? That's you. You've got this thing backwards. We're called to serve the brethren, called to serve in church. Turn to Psalm chapter number 19. Psalm chapter number 19. We're getting close to being done here. Psalm chapter number 19. So again, you know, if we don't know what the Bible says, and this is just a quick one. I preached a sermon, I think it was last year, in a series I did called All Good in the Hood, and we talked about manhood. Okay, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but you get the picture here. It's very simple. I mean, it's easy to do. It's a choice that you have, right? And the Bible gives us clear instructions here. Hey, quit you like men and be strong, you know? Do all things with charity. Love the brethren. Don't forsake the gathering, you know? Submit yourselves unto these people and learn and grow and influence that way. That's how we influence, okay? Here's some application. Psalm 19, look at verse 7. Here's something perfect for the Sims. The law of the Lord, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. It is perfect. This King James Bible is perfect. It's perfectly preserved, no mistakes. People say, well, it doesn't have any errors, but it's got mistranslations. You're a simp, if that's your philosophy. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Again, making wise the simple. The simple don't need to go to Andrew Tate. They don't need to go to Jake Paul and Logan Paul and whatever other YouTubers are out there. You know, Bedros Koulian, you know, Man Up, or Jordan Peterson. You know, they have little nuggets and things like that, those two guys, I'm sure. You know, but whatever. Your conversion from simp to Christian, to a king, is going to come from the law of the Lord, which is perfect. It converts the soul. You will never get full, transparent conversion from those programs because God has called us to act this way and He's provided the information for you to do that freely. You don't need that membership. Let's see here. I'm going to have you guys go to Psalm chapter 119. 100 chapters over, Psalm chapter 119. While you're turning there, I'm going to read for you another Psalm 116:6, which says, "The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me." And that's what we need to realize here, right? We don't want to make fun of people that actually do fall into the simp category. You know, when we meet them or whatever it is, we want to try to help them out. We want to try to make sure that we apply the law of the Lord to them because that's what's going to convert them. It is God that makes wise the simple. Somebody who runs around saying, man, I am so of Paul, or I'm so of Apollos, and everything I do is trying to get their attention, is nothing but a simp, and is somebody who needs correction, somebody who needs to be taught. Hey, you need to be converted so you can be yourself, so you can study for God, and so that you can actually, you know, move forward in the kingdom of God and actually do something for a change. Psalm 119, look at verse 130. Psalm 119, 130. The Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." The entrance. How does the Word of God enter? Through your eyes and your eardrums. Down into your heart. You're saved. That seed stays. The devil can't take that away from you. You can quench the Spirit, but he ain't getting in. He does not have that kind of power on you. "The entrance of thy words giveth light." And that's what the simp needs. The simp needs light. And they're going to get that only from the Word of God. "It giveth understanding to the simple." Turn to Proverbs chapter number 7. Proverbs chapter number 7. We are almost done. Proverbs 1:22 says this, "How long," this is the cry, this is the call of wisdom, "how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." Again, we have a limited time. We have a limited opportunity to get to people that are in that category, is what I'm saying. And we read this a few weeks ago, but I want to cover it just real quickly here because I really feel it applies. Proverbs, chapter 7, look at verse number 7. Look at what Solomon says. Gives us another example of a simp. He says, "And I beheld, and beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths, a young man, void of understanding." What do you think is about to happen to this guy? Something good? Look at verse 8. That's right, passing through the street near her corner. They always got to be at a corner, right? And this is true in Watt Avenue in Sacramento. Don't go there past 10:30, okay? Just quick commercial break. Watt Avenue in the Del Taco, right off the freeway. Be careful if you ever go to visit Verity and you stay over there. But anyways, verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. Verse 9, in the twilight of the evening, in the black and dark of night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. You see these characteristics, don't you, through these pimps, right? Subtle. Jonadab was subtle, okay? Jezebel's plan to kill Naboth was subtle. It was well thought out. It was well planned, okay? This woman here, this hoe, is of a subtle heart. Look at verse 11. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. I want you guys to remember this. Okay, these women that get on this TikTok and these YouTubes and Facebook or whatever, look, I don't care how good they look to you. I don't care what they're promising you. Okay, this is reality. She is loud and stubborn. When you get alone with this person, you get involved with this person, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She will vex you for the rest of your life, if not mentally, possibly even physically. Look at verse 12. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait in at every corner. Verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and have found thee. I was in a house the other day, and these people, these young kids, man, like this tall, were just scrolling some kind of social media. I couldn't tell which one it was. But it was just video after video of like these women and just other random things too, just saying the craziest things. I can't even bring them up. Just insane. I'm like, I need to get out of here, man. This is insane. Kids are like this tall. And they're on TV and they're just like scrolling somehow. Just, oh, look what she just said. There's nothing new under the sun. This thing's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. What you're reading right here, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently, to seek thy face. I have found thee. You know, a lot of these videos were these girls that were very attractive, promising, you know, if you click this, I'm looking for a guy just like you, broken. You know, maybe you have kids and a dad bod. Right, that's one I kept hearing. I want a guy with a dad bod. Be careful with that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you, let these people know, what are the odds? I've been seeking you. Now it's at your fingertips. It's on this. And it comes very quickly. It's very accessible. It's why we need to protect our children. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently, to seek thy face, and I have found thee. A match made in heaven. Only the simps believe that, though. Look, these girls that look like that, they don't want you. Not that cool. Understand that. Okay? Verse 16. And she's not that cool. She ain't no Porsche. In reality, what's under the hood is nothing good. Verse 16. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. And it goes on and on and on. And she just starts to pour it on. Then basically what happens is this young man just like, yes. He's hypnotized. He goes through with it. And Solomon explains, this guy has become slain by her. Jump down to verse 24. So after he tells this story here, he basically says that this is a guy likened unto somebody who's had his, you know, who's been struck through by a dart. But look at verse 24. It says, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. By the time your eyeballs see those videos, you need to see not only the fact that her footsteps take hold on hell, we don't even have time to go to that, but you need to see this right here. You need to see verse 26, for she hath cast down many wounded. And you will be next. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Just because you're strong, just because you're a king, just because you're whatever, doesn't mean you cannot become a simp. Verse 27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Most of these hoes are not saved at all. In fact, I would if I could bet, and I'm not a betting man, I would bet that a lot of them are reprobate concerning the faith. And they are out there doing the Jezebel. They're out there trying to slay men. Okay, now again, women, you can be Sims too. This can apply to women in a broad sense of the definition when you decide, you know what, I'm going to hold men in admiration, or I'm going to hold other women, people, in admiration. Okay, so don't think, oh, this doesn't apply to me. You know, one last proverb, go to 14, Proverbs number 14. I'll leave you with one last thought here, one last verse. Proverbs 14, look at verse 18. So Solomon tells us this. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The simple inherit folly. There's only one inheritance for the simp, and it's folly. It's vexation. It's the snare. It's a trap. It's total destruction. Okay? And again, it's our job to realize really they're the same. Because I believe, personally, this is my belief, I believe that pimps are simps, all of them. You know, no, a pimp's a player. And we ought to be players before we get married. You ought to play the field before you get married. That's what I had an Army recruiter tell me that. Kevin probably attested this. You know, that's the thing in the military. You know, when I got married, I was 19 years old. I remember the saying, you haven't even played the field yet, boy. What's wrong with you? And I'm like thinking to myself, that I don't have to go to the clinic every day to get medications like you do either. So I think I'm doing something right. Okay? Again, the world has it wrong. The simple inherit folly. It's our job to understand what's going on in our day and age and how the Bible applies so that we can rescue the innocent should we be presented with that opportunity. So I'm going to leave it there. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Again, thank you so much, Lord, for this teaching. I just pray that you would help us all to gain knowledge, gain wisdom, Lord, that we may help others, especially the simple ones, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, please grab your songbooks one more time this evening and turn to 448. Brethren, we have met to worship. Song number 448. On the first... Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray. Service out in a word of prayer, please.
Yeah, I just want to thank God for the word that Pastor Q8 will have his heart tonight, and God, that we're taking the pimps and simps around us, God, that we're able to just have the devoted role and walk away from it, God, just
you to bless us with the fellowship, and as we take our way home, God, you guide us safely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.